This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح.
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزًا عظيمًا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic of our khutbah today is sadness. And of course, we are linking this to what is happening in Palestine and what is happening in other parts of the world and what has happened before and what will probably most likely be going to happen in the future. The problem is that many Muslims think that the believer is in a state of perpetual sadness, and that our deen is linked to sadness, and the way of the believer is to be sad. And that is based in part on some quotes and narrations that the great scholar Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, the believer is sad in the evening and wakes up sad, and he has no alternative to that. You're always sad. It is narrated that Ibn Abbas said, how can we be happy when death is behind us? Yani death is chasing after us, and the grave is ahead of us, and the qiyamah is awaiting us, and our path is over the hellfire, and we have to stand before Allah. And it was also mentioned that Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, he said, how can I smile while al-Masjid al-Aqsa is captured? The scholars say, every one of these statements is not authentic. And even if they were, the argument, the proof, the guidance would be from the Quran and the Sunnah, not from quotes. So why is this topic important? What are the dangers of sadness? The first thing is, if we associate sadness with being a good Muslim or being a good believer, when we associate it with our religion, that meaning the believer is sad and doesn't have fun and is always burdened with the deaths and the trials of others, that could mean a couple of things. One of them is the result equation, the resulting equation in our minds is that obedience and religiosity equals being sad. And then on the flip side, happiness will be linked to haram and linked to the ma'asi, the disobedience of Allah. And whenever I feel happy, I would tell myself that means I don't care about what's happening in the ummah. And the flip side of that is that now every time I am happy, I start to feel guilty because I shouldn't feel that way. Beyond that, we all know that being sad and being perpetually sad slows you down, robs you of your energy, hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, optimism even in life, and as we know, it can lead you down the road to depression. What is interesting, brothers and sisters, is that we don't find in the Quran or in Islam that sadness is ever praised, nor is it ever required. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never once told us to be sad, nor once was it praised to be sad. Conversely, happiness is not frowned upon. Many Muslims think that to be happy is not a sign of a good believer. And we used to even hear speakers say things like, how can a Muslim go on vacation? The Muslim is never on vacation. The Muslim never forgets the trials of others, and so on and so forth. So happiness then is not frowned upon in Islam, nor is it an indication that you don't care about the next life, nor is it an indication that you don't care about the state of the Muslims. So someone might ask, how can you not be sad? Don't you see the situations of Muslims around the world? Don't you see what's happening in Palestine and the poverty and the oppression? The scholar said, the poor and the oppressed, they're not in need of your sadness and your negativity, nor does it benefit them in the least. So all it does, being sad, all it does is that it replaces action. And this is in psychology, you know. As human beings, we always try to make ourselves feel good, and we justify things in our brains, even in ways that are not rational. So you will say to yourself, because I am sad, I care, and I've done my part. So therefore, I'm exempt from having to do anything. Whereas your sadness has not benefited anybody. That's what the scholars said. The other thing is that it is just a temporary feeling. It's not obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't benefit the ummah, as we've said. And the scholar said it's only acceptable in some cases. If you use being sad about your situation, let's say your religious situation, as an anchor to get yourself when you're lost in materialism or love of this or desires. So feeling sad because of that state, you use it then as a motivator, as an anchor to get you out of that situation. The scholars also said the pain and sadness when it comes to falling short in the obedience of Allah, that is also acceptable. And then they said that any sadness that ruins the pleasure of disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal is also acceptable. So what about the narration where they said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mutawasil al-ahzan, that he was in a state of continuous sadness. He will come out of being sad over this situation and then go into sadness for the next situation, and he was always in this state. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, in Madarij al-Salikin, he mentions that all these, this narration has no basis. He's saying that there is an unknown narrator in the isnad, and therefore this is not a reliable narration. And then he argues, why would the Prophet ﷺ be in perpetual sadness And he is the one who was protected from sadness over issues of this dunya. And he is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him from his sadness over the kuffar, not accepting Islam. And he is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all his sins. So where would the sadness and where would perpetual sadness come from? Rather, the authentic description is that whenever you saw the Prophet وَكَانَ هَاشًا بَاشًا لَا تَلْقَاهُ إِلَّا مُبْتَسِمًا, always in a good mood, always smiling. This was the state and this was the authentic description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, as for sadness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command it, nor did his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade it in some situations, even though they were related to affairs of the religion. Meaning, someone might justify and say, I am not sad for myself, I am sad for the ummah. Okay? But even in this case, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. This verse was revealed after the Battle of Uhud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَهِنُوا, do not lose heart, and do not be saddened. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not be grieved. In Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ, do not be saddened over them. And it's interesting, the verse didn't say minhum, don't be saddened from them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't even sad because of their mistreatment and their bad behavior towards him. He wasn't sad because of them. Allah azza wa jalla told him, don't be sad for them. And وَلَا تَكُوا فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ, don't be distressed over the evil that they plan. And not only that, we'll see it in other places. We'll see it in Surah Al-Kahf. We'll see it in other places in the Qur'an. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ, don't be so sad, don't kill yourself with grief. بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ, don't kill yourself with sadness. عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ, over their footsteps. Meaning when they turn away from you, they walk away, they reject Islam. This used to make the Prophet ﷺ so sad that it's almost like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, take it easy. Don't be that sad. Don't kill yourself in grief because they turned away from you. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ, Allah Azza wa Jal says. Don't die and don't lose your soul over them in sorrow. And the Prophet ﷺ himself in the cave, what did he advise his companion? What did he say to him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? He said to him, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا, do not be saddened, indeed Allah is with us. So we never see sadness in the Quran except that it is mentioned negatively or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to not feel that way. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْنِي, the huzn, لَا يَجْلِبُ مَنْفَعَ, that is due to the fact that sadness does not bring forth any benefit, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ مَضَرَّ, and it does not push away any harm. فَلَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهِ, there is no benefit in it. And then he continues and says, and whatsoever has no benefit in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not command it. So sadness does not benefit anyone. Allah azza wa jal would not command you to feel or have something that does not benefit anyone. And then he mentions that limited sadness over trials of this dunya are not a problem. Limited sadness. Yani, you can feel sad over what's happening in Palestine, but you don't become a sad individual because of what's happening in Palestine. Depressed and unable to operate and unable to go to work and unable to get out of bed. So he says limited sadness over trials of this dunya are not a problem so long as there is no sin and no expression of displeasure accompanies it. So those who are saddened for the ummah, the scholars said, they, Allah Azza wa Jal will not reward them for their sadness itself, but they might be rewarded for the goodness of their heart. They might be rewarded for the level of care they have for their brothers and sisters around the ummah. But they're not rewarded for being sad itself. Because sadness itself, there's no reward for it. The scholar said from the aims of the shaitan is to bring sadness to the believer. From the aims of the sharia is to bring happiness to the believer. إنما النجوى من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا إلى آخر الآية. الله عز وجل says النجوى, the private conversations, the conspiracies, they're from the shaitan so that he can cause sadness for the believer. So the aim of the shaitan is to cause sadness to the believer. وَدُّوا مَا عَنِدْتُمْ, Allah Azza wa Jal says, that they would love to see you in suffering. But the flip side of that, if you look at where the Prophet ﷺ was mentioning, what of the deeds is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions at the top, bringing happiness to the heart of a believer. So it can't be that Islam wants us to be sad, but one of the greatest and most beloved deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal is to enter sadness into happiness into the heart of the believer. So with that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمِ لِي وَلَكُمْ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذُّنُوبِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَيَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So the scholars mention some points to not be in a state of sadness. We mentioned earlier that you can be sad over a situation, but you don't become a sad person. And they mentioned reminding yourself, because we all know this, but remind yourself that everything is happening is according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. You remind yourself of the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things, the khair that is happening behind the scenes, for lack of a better term, that we don't see. All the other things that are happening, yani that in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani we don't know how many Muslims started practicing better because of what's happening in Palestine. But we've seen with our eyes how many non-Muslims came into Islam because of what they saw in Palestine. And they went and picked up a copy of the Quran and they actually became Muslim. Or a woman, she said, I saw a Palestinian mother, her daughter was dead in her arms and she was thanking Allah. So I said, how did she get to this state? And she went to read the Quran just for that sake. So all these kinds of things that are happening that could be part of what will lead to the freedom or the yani freeing Palestine in the future. The other thing is that the scholar said that sadness doesn't do anything except increase your white hairs. Yani there's no benefit in it. And they mentioned a salah and how you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a famous statement that says the distance between the problem and the situation is equal to the distance between your forehead and the ground. And this was the way of our Prophet ﷺ. Whenever something distressed him, he immediately turned to salah. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that I complain my problems and my sadness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you turn to salah immediately. The scholars mention dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And because we know the verse, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Everybody knows this verse. So someone is saddened, he sits for like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, makes a little bit of dhikr, it didn't work. That's not what it means. It means your heart is filled with dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Your day from beginning to end, you're always trying to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue. Many times people just test the thief if things work or not. I tried salah, it didn't work. I made dhikr, it didn't work. Did you make a career out of dhikr? Or were you making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, or were you testing if this works? There's a difference between the two. So, in conclusion, we're saying that you can be sad over Palestine, but do not become a saddened person. Yani we have heard reports of people in the community who said they couldn't get out of bed because of what's happening. Some said, if it wasn't for going to work, I would never leave the bedroom, never leave the house. And this is not from the way of the believer. And then the final reminder, brothers and sisters, please, do not, every time you see someone doing something, a family going to a restaurant, or people going to an event, you bring up Palestine. Yani, and sometimes there's this level, and inshallah it's nobody in this room, but there's this level of hypocrisy. Someone is having some fun. How can you do this? Well, Palestine and Gaza. Then he goes home and he watches Netflix for 4 hours. Don't get on people's cases. Whenever they're trying to do something, you remind them of a calamity that's happening somewhere. There will always be calamities happening somewhere. You do your part. You figure out what your role is, how you can help, if it's monetarily, if it's just through your dua. We're not belittling that. But don't go around trying to get people to stop doing things. And we're turning on each other because of what's happening in Palestine. One guy started a big fight in the masjid, not this masjid. He yelled at the imam, how could you not make the qunut after the salah? So the next salah, the imam made the qunut. He came to him and he said, why didn't you say this in the dua? Nothing's going to make you happy. So let's not turn on each other. That's also not a solution. It's also not a solution. With that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna tinaba. Allahumma la taj'al al-dunya akbar hammina, wa la mablagha ilmina, wa la ila al-nari masirana. Allahumma ansur ikhwanina fi Gaza. Allahumma ansur ikhwanina fi Filistin. Allahumma ahqin dima'ahum. اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم ارحمهم وتقبل شهداءهم اللهم احفظهم احفظ ارواحهم واحفظ نساءهم واولادهم اللهم ثبتهم يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتهم يا رب العالمين وثبت الارض من تحت اقدامهم اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء وقوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم ابرم لهذه الامه امر رشد يعز فيه اهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله